Good morning and welcome back to Kings and Queens, the podcast where we read, watch, play, and discuss history's favorite scream queens and literary kings of horror. I am your host, Nat, and this week we are diving into chapter 25 of Stephen King's Holly. If you have not already, I highly recommend going back to the beginning and reading all the previous chapters with us. Last week we were just spoiled rotten with a multiple point of view chapter encompassing Barbara, Holly, the Harrises, absolutely everybody. This week it's a little bit shorter, I apologize, but we'll get through it and there's still a lot of good stuff in there. As a reminder, when you hear this sound, that means I have stopped reading from the text and am instead discussing thoughts, interpretation, things like that. When the sound replays, that means the mic is back to the author. Without further ado, let's begin chapter 25 of Holly. Holly, chapter 25. May 19th, 2021. Part 1, page 241. Barbara enters the hospital lobby in a hurry, not quite running, only because Marie has told her this is no emergency, just routine. At the main desk of Kiner Memorial, she asks which floor oncology is on. The woman at the desk directs her to the west bank of elevators. Barbara emerges in a pleasant lounge with pleasant pictures on the walls, sunsets, meadows, tropic isles, and pleasant music wafting down from overhead speakers. Plenty of people are sitting here, hoping for good news and fearing the opposite. All are wearing masks. Marie is reading a paperback John Sanford novel. She saved a chair for Barbara. "Why didn't you tell me?" is the first thing Barbara says. "Because it would have worried you needlessly when you didn't have to worry at all," Marie says. She's perfectly calm. Fawn-colored slacks and white shirt as usual, minimal makeup perfectly applied, not a hair out of place. "What Olivia wanted you to worry about is your poetry." "I'm worried about her." Barbara tries to keep her voice down, but several people look around. "Olivia has cancer," Marie says. What she calls, no surprise, ass cancer. She's had it for a very long time. Dr. Brown, her oncologist, says it's a cancer you die with, not the kind you die of. At her advanced age, it just crawls along. Over the last 2 years, it's crawled a little faster. "Malignant?" She whispers the word. "Oh yes," Marie says, still calm. "But it hasn't metastasized and may not. She used to get its growth checked twice a year. This year it will be 3 times. Assuming she lives another year, that is. Olivia herself likes to say her equipment package is long past the warranty. "I called you here because she has something to tell you. Are you missing school?" Barbara waves this aside. She's a senior, she's carrying an A average, she can take a day off any old time she wants to. "What's up?" "She'll tell you that herself." "Is it about the Penley?" Marie only picks up her novel and begins reading again. Barbara didn't bring a book. She takes out her phone, goes to Instagram, looks at a few boring posts, checks her email, and puts it away again. 10 minutes later, Olivia comes out of the swinging doors, behind which is machinery Barbara doesn't want to know about. Olivia is walking with both of her canes. Her satchel purse swings from one thin shoulder. An orderly is holding her arm. She reaches Barbara and Marie, thanks the orderly, and plops down with a sigh and a wince. "I have once more survived the indignity of being entombed in a noisy machine while my poop chute is examined," she tells them. "Old age is a time of casting away, which is bad enough, but it's also a time of escalating indignities." Then, just to Barbara, "I'm assuming Marie informed you of the cancer and why we kept it from you." "I still wish you'd told me," Barbara says. Olivia looks tired. Tired unto death, Barbara thinks. But she also looks interested. "Why?" Barbara has no answer. This woman will be 100 in the fall. And somewhere behind those doors, there may be bald children who won't live to see their 10th birthday. So why indeed? "Can you scream, Barbara?" The eyes above her mask, which is imprinted with red, white, and blue peace signs, are as bright as ever. "What? Why?" "Have you ever screamed? A full-out, full-throated scream? The kind that leaves you hoarse afterwards?" Barbara thinks of her history with Brady Hartsfield, Morris Bellamy, and Chet Ondowski. Especially Ondowski. "Yes. You won't scream here. This is no place for screaming, but perhaps later. Here you must be quiet. I could have waited until we got home to have Marie call you, but the older I get, the poorer my impulse control becomes. Besides, I didn't know how long the MRI would take, so I asked Marie to ask you to come here." She slides her big purse from her shoulder and fumbles it open. From inside, she takes an envelope with a quill and ink pot logo Barbara recognizes at once. Her heart, which has been beating rapidly ever since she got Marie's call, goes into overdrive. "I took the liberty of opening this in order to give you bad news gently, if the news was bad. It isn't. There are 15 poets under the age of 30 on the Penley shortlist. You are one of them." Barbara sees her hand take the envelope. She sees her hand open it and pull out the heavy sheet of folded paper inside. She sees the same logo on top of the letter, which begins, "The Penley Committee is pleased to inform you." Then her eyes blur with tears. Chapter 25, Part 2, page 243. They go back to Ridge Road in Marie's car. Barbara sits in back. The radio, tuned to Sirius XM, plays a constant stream of 40s tunes. Olivia sings along with some of them. Barbara guesses when they were first popular, Olivia wore penny loafers and did her hair in a pageboy. On the drive, Barbara reads the letter over and over again, making herself understand it's real. When they get to the house, Barbara and Marie help Olivia out of the car and up the steps, a slow process accompanied by several loud farts. "Just backfiring," Olivia says matter-of-factly, clearing the exhaust system. In the foyer, with the door shut, Olivia faces Barbara with a cane gripped in each hand. "If you want to scream, now would be a good time. I'd do it myself, but I no longer have the lung power." Barbara is still in the running to win the Penley and to be published by Random House. She thinks it would be nice. She could certainly use the money for college, but that isn't the important part. Olivia has all but assured her that her poems will be published, even if she doesn't win. They will be read. Not by multitudes, but certainly by people who love what she loves. She draws in breath and screams. Not with horror, but for joy. "Good," Olivia is smiling. "How about another? Can you manage that?" She can. Marie puts an arm around her shoulders and they scream together. "Excellent," Olivia says. "Just so you know, I've mentored two young men who were longlisted for the Penley, but you, Barbara Robinson, are the first to be shortlisted and by far the youngest. There are more hurdles to jump, however, and they're high ones. Remember that you're in the company of 14 men and women of immense talent and dedication." "You need to rest, Olivia," Marie says. "I will, but first, we have things to discuss." End of chapter 25. Now, I will admit that that did feel like quite a bit of an expositional chapter. However, I think the purpose of putting it in the middle of the book like this is to give us information about Barbara and give us information about Olivia. Introducing cancer this late in the game in an elderly, like almost 100-year-old woman, to me is huge foreshadowing that Barbara may lose her mentor here. And that may mean that she gets published without Olivia by her side, which is devastating to think about. But even though it seems boring, and like I said, a lot of people critique Stephen King for his drawn-out exposition and lots of detail that can be considered dry, I think there is purpose to this, and can't wait to see what it is. Thank you so much for joining me. I hope you come back next week. We do have a longer chapter next week filled with a lot more to digest. So please come back. If not, no worries. Just remember, it's all a bunch of hocus pocus. Don't forget to like and subscribe.